29 May 1893. Statement of Dr. Henry Martin Clark, representing Deputy Abdullah Atham. I am very surprised by many of the things that I have heard Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Sahib say, but I was most surprised upon finding him capable of saying why, rationally, Ramchandra and Krishna should not be considered God, and why should the proof from Hindu scriptures not be considered reliable. What is this that you are saying, Mirza Sahib? What divine works have they performed, and which claim of theirs has attained the level of established truth? And what was the need of citing their examples in a sitting of the people of the book? Do you not differentiate rationally between Christ and Ramchandra and Krishna? And do you consider the majestic Bible to be comparable with Hindu books? In my opinion, it is a sin to even liken a truthful prophet and issues of the people of the book with idol worshippers and their books. And if you wish to make such comparisons, you will have to answer to Allah Almighty. The Hindu books that you have mentioned are not even historically correct. Now, what should we look at mostly to make a distinction? You also said that since many people made the claim that we are God and their claims turned out to be false, therefore, since Christ has also claimed that he is God, he is also false. My dear sir, what is this that you say? If 9 rupees out of 10 turn out to be counterfeit, would the 10th rupee also be counterfeit? A ruling of this sort cannot be given. A decision should only be given after taking into account all circumstances and particularities that may be present. Since there are false claims, it will become clear to you that there must be a true claim also. Had there been no genuine currency, there wouldn't have been any counterfeit currency. Third, we have presented many prophecies to Mirza Sahib, but he objects that we have presented only claims in support of claims, because the prophecies that you refer to are claims in themselves, and how can a claim serve as proof in support of another claim? I submit, my dear sir, that this is a strange misunderstanding of yours. Divine prophecies of Allah Almighty can in no way be counted as claims, for they are truths, and we do not accept them to be mere claims. We accept them as pronouncements of our Master. Could any mere mortal dare to call the statement of his Creator and Provider to be a mere claim? We do not even have the right to examine and evaluate them, because if it is a prophecy, then it has to do with the future and not the present. So how can we settle issues related to a destination we never arrive at? We have the right to assess and evaluate the prophet and satisfy ourselves that he is indeed a prophet of Allah. And once we come to know that, then we must accept the message he conveys to us with gratitude and respect, considering it not to be his message, but rather the message of his Master and our Master. When a prophecy comes down, it is accepted, and when it is fulfilled, it comes to completion. Who, apart from Almighty Allah, can distinguish between those matters that have not yet taken place? Now, my dear sir, look in the Old Testament. Many prophets informed people about Allah Almighty, that from Allah Almighty we have been told that such and such things will happen. The New Testament is also the truth revealed from God and has descended from Allah Almighty. Many others write that this guidance by God, that such and such of my servants who had said at such and such an occasion, that is being fulfilled today and at this place. My dear sir, we have perforce to believe. Evasion is against human nature because the testimony of Allah Almighty and his pronouncements are above all other testimonies. Sir, we presented 3 lists to you containing prophecies of the Old Testament with references and the places in the New Testament where it was written that these have been fulfilled. What the prophets of Allah had said 600, 700, or 800 years earlier came to fulfillment word for word. My dear Mirza Sahib, if you still consider this to be a mere claim, it will only be obstinacy and prejudice. You have also asked whether Christ had himself, with his own blessed tongue, ever accepted the fulfillment of those prophecies in his favor. Sir, he did, not once or twice, but many times, and not one or two, but all of the prophecies. Please look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 to 46, John chapter 5, verse 39, Matthew chapter 11 verse 10, as compared with Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, Luke chapter 24 verse 27, Matthew chapter 6 verse 17. Fourth, sir, you have inquired about John chapter 10 verse 35. We have repeatedly explained it, but we are surprised that you do not understand the point. I make this last appeal. Perhaps you keep on referring to this verse because you believe that there is a denial of divinity in this verse. On the contrary, Christ makes a very strong claim of his divinity upon this occasion. It is as if he is saying to the Jews that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and when the Word was made flesh, those people to whom the Word of Allah reached became worthy of being called divine by virtue of this blessing. In other words, for following the Word, they received this blessing. If he called them gods to whom the Word of God came, do you say to him who is the Word personified that you utter blasphemy? Sad indeed is the state of your intelligence. The two words worthy of paying attention to are makhsus, sanctified, and bheja, sent. You had indicated some verses stating that these words are found in them also, but upon searching, we encountered no reference to these words in them. Your references turned out to be wrong. We had even submitted for your attention the Greek. You told us there are many more references, but you never gave us those. Please pay attention that the bheja, sent, in reference to the sending of Christ, was of a totally different type from others. John chapter 16 verse 28 states, I came from the Father and am come into the world. If there is a denial of divinity in this, then please tell us whether any human being said that, I came from the Father and am going back to the Father. Then you say that the statement that Christ was sent is not correct. We have no right to say it should have been like this or that. We have to decide according to what has been said. Otherwise, we might as well say that we are wiser than Allah Almighty and His prophets. And had it been up to us, we would have said it like this. This is not wisdom, but slander. Alexander the Great had a general by the name of Parmenion. When Alexander had conquered Persia, Parmenion said that had he been Alexander, he would have married the daughter of Darius and never left Persia. To which Alexander replied, had I been Parmenion, I would also have done the same. But since I am Alexander and not Parmenion, I will do something else. Therefore, because at that time it was the Christ and not Mirza Sahib, and remember that this was not the only dialogue between him and the Jews, so that everything should have happened at that time. This affair went on for 3 years. Fifth, if Christ was a creator, what did he create? The answer according to John chapter 1 is everything. If Mirza Sahib abhors this verdict, then he might as well reject the whole of the New Testament and declare it to be a man-made book, lewd and full of lies. Sixth, when he became man, where did the attributes of Allah go? This is the question from Mirza Sahib, and the answer is very short and succinct. Although Allah Almighty was eternally blessed and is, according to Philippians chapter 2 verse 6, he suppressed himself. Seventh, your foot slipped on a mustard seed and arrived at the mountains, and what wondrous shoe wrapped in pashmina cloth you used to strike our heads, telling us to wake up, or even a mustard seed worth of faith shall not remain. Please do not worry, our faith is not going anywhere. I submit that this saying is only for prophets and not for us. For it is clearly stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 2, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And as for the magnificent edifice you have raised in favor of miracles upon the foundation of Mark chapter 16, it is all to no gain, because the foundation is faulty. We have clearly told you that the apostles who accepted Christ, even in the state of disbelief, were told that they would have such and such signs. The word in Greek is pistoi, and it means those who have believed. It is present tense and the form does not in any way mean those who will come to believe. Even in the times of the apostles, not everyone had that privilege. They were like one body, but different limbs. A disciple asks, is everyone an eye or ear, or can they all show miracles and perform marvels and cure the sick, etc., as has already been mentioned? And then it is clearly written that these special bounties will, in any case, come to an end, and what will remain forever is love. Our Lord stated very clearly that the everlasting sign by which the world will recognize you, that you belong to me, will not be marvels and miracles, but love. See John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Then you ask us that according to John chapter 12, verse 14, it is our duty to do such deeds as Christ did, or even greater than those. Dear sir, you must look at the text carefully. Here he was addressing his disciples, not me nor you. The works that I have been doing, you will keep on doing, he said. And indeed, they purged many demons, captured many snakes, and raised many dead. And you will do greater things than these as I go to the Father. And this is the truth, and it did happen just like this, because only a few believed upon the preaching of Christ. But with just one announcement of Peter, 3,000 became believers. It is written in the Acts that he only used to preach among the Jews while his disciples roamed the world. However, we must remember that pupils are not greater than the master. You ask me and I shall make it happen. He told them that their job was to pray. Therefore, it is clearly written that they kept on praying and Lord Jesus Christ kept giving them results and continues to do so. 8th. You inquire if signs are not necessary for every age. Certainly not. They are needed in the beginning, but the beginning does not last forever. Signs and miracles are meant to complete the teachings and faith. And what once has been made complete by Allah Almighty should not have been sent so incomplete, so there would be no need to make it complete again. The last sign was Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is also manifestly clear that when some new teaching is sent, it needs a special person who can deliver the message, and there should be special signs by which Allah Almighty should prove that this is my messenger and this is my teaching. Now, there are 1,000 ways in which research can be done, that is to say, scriptural, rational, historical, etc. Where some tasks can be accomplished by ordinary means, Allah Almighty does not employ special means. The Jews kept on receiving heavenly food while roaming in the wilderness where no food was available. But the day they arrived in a country where things were available, that heavenly food also vanished. Miracles are like a seal of attestation that this is my servant and this is my teaching. After that, there is no special person and no special attestation, and that enterprise is made to function ordinarily. Thus, according to your belief, His Excellency Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet of Allah, and Almighty Allah kept revealing the Quran to him through Gabriel. And it is right that in the beginning it should happen thus, but now the followers of His Excellency Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are spreading this teaching and religion, and not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And the Qurans are being published through printing and not through angels. 9th. Why did Lord Jesus refuse to show miracles? Regarding this, Mr. Abdullah Atham spoke briefly already. Even at that time, he did not refuse but told them that they would see the sign of Prophet Jonah. You did not read this out, that just as he remained 3 days in the belly of the fish, so would the son of Adam also remain 3 days in the womb of the earth. He gave them the sign of his death, burial, and resurrection, and there has never been any miracle greater than this in the world. And he showed that miracle. John chapter 21, verse 25. The apostle says that he accomplished many other works, and what reference does he give for his work? Please see John chapter 14, verse 11. 10th, you ask why he did not come down from the cross. How should he have come down? He had come into the world for that very task, to offer atonement for the world. Similarly, Satan had asked him to bake bread from stones. He neither did this nor that, because each of these deeds involved the worship of Satan. You suggest that if he had come down from the cross, the Jews would have believed in him immediately. How exactly do you know this? Having witnessed, which other miracle had they believed in him? And did they believe in him after seeing him resurrected? My distinguished sir, faith is not created through any miracle. Was there any lack of miracles shown by Moses to Pharaoh? Yet that hard-hearted person remained a disbeliever. There is no guarantee that with a sign one will be granted faith also. That is to say, the one who witnesses the sign may or may not believe. This is a divine thing. I have given the example of Pharaoh. Christ had brought a man named Lazarus back to life from the dead. The Jews became so angry that they proposed killing them both. It is clearly written in the glorious Bible that if they do not believe in Moses and the scriptures, they will not believe even if someone raised from the dead were to go to them. 11th. You said that a man's body is replaced every 4 years. So how could atonement have taken place? It is not after 4 years. This change occurs after 7 years. Well, the change is of the physical body and not of one's being. In your opinion, atonement was not possible because of this. And perhaps now you will also agree that after 7 years or after 4 years, a man will no more remain the husband of his wife, nor the father of his children, nor the owner of all his possessions. So as the end of this time nears, the marriage should be registered again, so his honor and property remain intact. Sir, are such questions and objections becoming of your bright intellect? Signature English, Ehsanullah acting on behalf of Henry Martin Clark, President representing Christians. Signature English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President representing Muslims.